You know, the reality is some of you grew up in some very great homes. Some of you grew up in a home, a family where you were loved, where you were cared for, where you had devoted parents who showed you affection and attention. Many times they put your needs in front of their own. Some of you as parents now are doing the same thing. And of course, it wasn't a perfect family, right? Because there's no such thing as a perfect family. But you experience maybe that fervent love, that devoted family love where every person was an honored part of that family. I hope that was your family. But the reality is that some of us didn't grow up in a family like that. Maybe you're thinking, no, that's not my family. But wouldn't it be great if all of us could experience what family was meant to be? You know what? I think that's part of what the church is to be about. I believe God desires us to experience what true family is to be about. And I believe that my earlier description of a good family, a healthy family, is what God desires for his church to be. It's what God desires for North Main Fellowship to be. It's what he desires Open Door Church to be, and Christ Lutheran Church, and Assembly of God Church, any local church. He wants it to be that family of God for the group of people there. As we kind of come to our last 2 weeks of this One Another series, I hope that you've not only learned, you've not only kind of been challenged and reminded of who we are to be as a church, that you just don't know these things, but I pray and hope that more and more that we will live them out, that we will live them out. We'll be committed to putting them into practice. And we've looked at a lot of different ones. I know last week Jason talked a little bit about forgiving one another, and Nathan talked about spurring one another on, encouraging one another on to good deeds. And we've talked about all kinds of different ways that we are to be together. And these one another's are practical, aren't they? They're very practical, but they're also very challenging commands that if we practice these things, God says that we will be the church. We'll be the family that he has created us to be. We'll be able to live as God's family. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Actually, we're going to focus on one verse. We're kind of doing that, but we'll look at other verses and passages that relate to it. But really, if you look at Romans chapter 12, a lot of it is talking about how we are to be with one another. You'll see a lot of different one another's and what we are to be as the family of God. But look with me at Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And we're going to look at, first of all, just the NIV. That's usually the version I read out of, the New International Version. But we're going to look at some other ones as well. But look at chapter 12, verse 10. It says this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. So we see here that we are to be, it says, devoted to one another. As God's family, we're to be devoted to one another. This word, this idea of devotion, however, here is unique. You know, when you think of the word devotion, you probably think of the word commitment, loyalty, right? Faithfulness. And that's certainly a big part of devotion, but this particular word actually has a little bit of a different meaning. And you won't get it if you just see it in the NIV. But it's interesting, there's a unique application that we want to look at this morning as it says, be devoted to one another. And to know this, you got to kind of know the language, the original language, which is Greek. And I happen to have books. I don't know Greek very well. I took a Greek class for one semester. You don't learn language in one semester, but I learned how to use the tools, right? Where to find it. And so as I have some Bibles that are, you know, have the Greek and English together, and this word, this Greek word is philostorphe. The word devoted is this word philostorphe. Let's say that together. Can you say that? Philostorphe. All right, you know a little more Greek. It's a compound word. Philo, which means is a word for love. And then storphe means tender affection or a family affection. And so we see you put these two words together, and you see it's a term for family affection or love. It's kind of, it's directed toward the family. So it's interesting. He says this idea, you think of family, a family is to be devoted to one another. Devoted to what? Devoted to tender, real affection or love for one another. But that's not the only love word that is there. We have this word combined with brotherly love, which is the word Philadelphia. Now, all of you know that word, right? Because you know the city. Philo, again, love. Delphos, which is brother. a generic word for brother. It means brother or sister. So when I talk about brothers, it includes our sisters, okay? It's like when we call, say, mankind. It's talking about everyone. It's interesting, this word, adelphos, which is brother, is used 220 times in the New Testament. Paul, Peter, Titus, all these people use this word, my brothers, my sisters. It's a family term. And so we see here, as we look at this idea of Romans 12:10, let me read it again and add in kind of the Greek word, be philostorphe, devoted, family affection. Show this family affection to one another in brotherly or family kind of love. Honor one another above yourselves. Let me take a moment and share some other translations. This is awesome. I was looking at just a number of different translations when I saw that this word, you know, devoted, NIV, actually has some other meanings. And so look at the American Standard Bible. It's on the screen behind me. It says this, in love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate. That's that word devoted, philostorphe. Be tenderly affectionate to one another, in honor, preferring one another. The New Living Translation says this, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And lastly, the Holman Bible says, show family affection to one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. Pretty cool, I thought. Those are some great translations. They take the, you know, kind of the literal meaning of the word and show us. You know, I saw a lot of this philostorphe kind of love this past week. As I shared, I went to my my wife and my two daughters and my granddaughter. We went up to Canada. It was basically what I call the Macy Canadian tour. I think you see a picture there of our, you know, of our little girl who toured Canada showing off herself. You know, she received so much philostorphe, this affectionate kind of love. You know, she had all these, she was loved and hugged and kissed and talked to constantly, never let down. I mean, she was probably exhausted by she got home. That's kind of what I think of, in some senses, of this idea of family affection. And yet you say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's kind of weird. That's just for babies. That's just for little kids, right, to show that kind of affection. Well, yes and no. It may look different, but it's that same idea that as the family of God, we are to have that kind of love for one another, where we want to hug one another, encourage one another. Where it says here, Paul says, basically, we need to have a warm and fervent love. That's his word for devotion. When you say be devoted, it's not just, oh, I'm just devoted, you know, to coming and saying hi to somebody. No, it's about this idea that we actually care for one another. I think Peter, I love it. I think Peter was sharing about the same idea in 1 Peter 1:22. Look what it says there. Peter is writing to the church. He says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Now we can kind of, oh yeah, deeply from the heart. That makes sense. I think that's another kind of idea of devotion, where we truly care for one another. It's kind of a love that honestly is unique to the Christian church many times, especially during Paul and Peter's day. There were not a lot of other groups that had this kind of, where they saw themselves as family. Even in today, think about our society. There are some groups that kind of see themselves as family, but normally most people don't have that kind of real affection, that kind of devotion to one another. Yeah, you're friends, or yeah, you're, you know, part of this group or that group, but there's something unique that God calls his church to be. Now, it doesn't have to be all this lovey-dovey, okay? You know, it's not all this, it's not all about, you know, feelings, and or not all about hugs and kisses and stuff like that. It's about practical ways of showing love to one another. Kind of like what happened, I thought a good example of this, I read about this catcher named Chad Kruder in 1996. He was just a backup catcher for the Chicago White Sox. But he was in the game one time, and a play at home plate came, and the runner slid into him, and he dislocated his shoulder. Had to have surgery. He was out for at least 60 days. He was on the 60-day disabled list, where he could no longer play. And kind of being a backup catcher anyway, you know, it's pretty easy once that happens to feel like you're not really a part of the team, right? feel like you're less of the team, you can't play, you can't participate. But you know, it's interesting, for this particular teammate, the opposite happened. Apparently, Chad's teammates had an affection for him, okay? They had one of those, you know, teammate kind of affections for each other. They enjoyed him. He was one of the, you know, kind of their favorite teammates. So what they decided to do is they decided to put his number 12, on the back of their caps. It was kind of the start of that tradition. We see that often, usually often when somebody dies or when somebody's injured or something like that. And so they put his number 12 on there. They devoted to showing him, you know what, you're still a part of the team. Even though you're injured, you're still with us. We still love you. You're still part of us. As you can imagine, that meant a lot to Chad. Well, after a number of months, he healed up and finally he came back to the team and he was able to play some. And he decided to kind of return the favor, to show his devotion and love for his teammates. And so he decided to put every number of his teammates on his hat. You can imagine, I'm not sure how good that went with the league, but you know, he said, it's interesting, they were showing what? It was all for one and one for all, right? They were devoted to each other, devoted to one another. And they were showing it in a practical way, kind of, you know, a manly way, a guy way, a teammate. You know, I'm not going to go up and, you know, give him a kiss. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm gonna, maybe a hug or a slap on the back. But they decided to show something practical, that we love you. You're part of us. There was a warm and fervent love. And it, you know, this is something that I believe Paul is telling us as a church. We need to have that kind of philostorphe kind of love, that affection, that love, where it's not just about coming to church, right? That's, hopefully you're hearing that more. It's not just about coming to church, but rather it's about being a part of the family of God. We see that, the family of God throughout this. It's interesting, you think about the family of God. How do you become a part of the family of God? A lot of people might think, well, I come to church, I'm a part of the family of God, right? Well, actually, the Bible gives us a pretty clear picture of how you become a part of the family of God. It's by being adopted. Did you know that? You have to be adopted into family, into God's family. Ephesians 1, 5 through 7, Paul writes this to the church. He says this, in love, God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely has given us in the one he loves. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So how do we become a part of God's family? By being adopted into his family. How does that happen? Well, he says here, by receiving Christ, receiving his forgiveness, receiving his redemption, what he did on the cross. How do you get that? How do you become adopted? Well, I kind of refer to it, I learned this a few months ago, actually at a conference we were at, of, you know, it's kind of the ABCs of our faith. You know the ABCs, you all learned that when you were little kids, right? It's one of the first things you learned, your ABCs. And of course, the first ones you learned were, which are the first three letters? ABC. Okay, you guys are slow, but you're getting there. ABC. So the ABCs of adoption is, first, A is admit that you're a sinner. That's the first step of becoming a part of God's family, is admit that you've failed, that you've sinned against God. B is to believe. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Believe that he loves you. Believe that he has offered you forgiveness and eternal life and his grace. And then C is to choose. To choose to follow Jesus. To choose to say, you know what, I am going to accept Jesus as my Savior, the one who forgave my sin. And so that's kind of the simple thing. So if ever a time out there, and you're going to be hearing this more and more in the weeks, months to come as I share, but you have ever, somebody says, well, how do you become a Christian? How do you become a part of the family of God? Or what does it mean to, you know, to be a Christian? You can share the ABCs, simple. Admit that you've sinned. Believe in Jesus and always sharing about who Jesus is and what he's done. And then C, we have to make a choice. Choose to follow him. Because when you receive Christ, he says you are now adopted, right? You're adopted as a part of the family of God. And if there's anyone here that's never done that, you've never kind of, in a sense, really prayed to receive Christ, then I encourage you to do that, to do those ABCs, even this morning, just in your heart. And you know, talk to me, let me know. You know what, that's something I've done. I really want to follow Jesus and to be adopted into his family. Because when we receive Christ into her life, then we have the opportunity to be a family, and then we will begin to learn what it means to be devoted to one another, to be devoted to the family of God. Because, as I've mentioned, it's a family kind of love. That's what I see in this verse. We see two family terms, right? We are to be devoted, it says, to brotherly love, this Philadelphia kind of love. As brothers or sisters, that's who we are now. Now, as we've said before, sometimes we don't always get along with our brothers and sisters in our real family, and so it's true even in the family of God. But we're still family, like it or not. Think again about family. What's a family to be? It's a place of love, right, for one another, of tenderness, of loyalty, of devotion. That's the essence of this word, philostorphe, of devoted to one another. Members of the spiritual family, we are called to do with all of our power to show that devotion to one another, to show this tender affection to one another. You know, this family idea, though, has some good news and some bad news with it. Let me share the bad news, all right? I always get the bad news out of the way first. The bad news is that many of us didn't grow up in a very healthy family. Some of us didn't grow up in a healthy, affectionate, loving, devoted family. Some, matter of fact, maybe come from the opposite side. Maybe you came from a family that where your parents divorced, or maybe you were neglected. Or even worse, maybe you were even abused in a different way. And as a result, some people, we develop habits. We kind of follow in the habits of our parents or our siblings, and we develop some certainly non-Christian or un-Christ-like attributes in our life. We can have our own dysfunctions in our life, such as lying. Many of us learned a habit of lying as we were growing up. And so we need to ask God to help us to change that. Some of us, we had a habit of manipulating one another's to get our way, right? We have a habit of saying hurtful words to others to make ourselves feel better, or simply being selfish. Some of these things, that's not what a healthy family looks like, right? And yet sometimes we can carry those things and we carry it right into the family of God, and we can do those same kind of things with one another. See, these one another's that we're talking about, the reason I did this series isn't just so we can, you know, do a bunch of one another's and hear these. But really what this is, it's preparing us. It's preparing us for the fall as we're going to look at some other things in a new series. It's preparing us even for next week as we have the Family Fun Day. It's preparing us basically to hopefully be the family of God, the people of God that He wants us to be, that we can break some of those bad habits that we grew up with or that we've had, and we can learn what it means to be a healthy family. These one another's are the difference between a dysfunctional, unhealthy, unspiritual church versus being a spiritually healthy, mature, dynamic, devoted to one another church. Which one do you want to be at? How do you want to be treated by other people in our church? How do you want to treat others that come to our church? So that's the bad news. We've got some habits maybe we need to break. But here's the good news. The good news is that God designed His church, the family of God, to be a place where we can learn what healthy family looks like. If you grew up in a dysfunctional family, you know what? Maybe you couldn't, it couldn't help that. But you know what? Hopefully we can break some of those things. We can help each other see what a healthy family looks like, right? It is to be a place, the church is to be a place for emotional and spiritual healing and growth, where a dynamic, healthy, and devoted church is to one another. That's these one another's that we're talking about. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you know, if you've been in church forever or if you're a young person in junior high. We are to have these one another's as a part of who we are. Hopefully, church can be a place where people come and they see what a marriage looks like. They see what a family is supposed to look like as they see how we interact with one another. Not perfect, right? Not perfect in any way. But one where we are loving one another and all these one another's are living out in our lives, this idea of devotion to one another. Paul knew this. He knew this was important. That's why he wrote an encouraging part in his letter to the church in Thessalonica. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. He was excited about this church and how they were loving one another. He says, now about brotherly love, there's that Philadelphia. Now about brotherly love, I don't even need to write you about this, really. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you are loving all the brothers, all the sisters throughout Macedonia. And yet he says, you know what? I want to urge you, brothers, do it even more. And so I want to say to each one of you what Paul says. You know what? Many of you are doing that. You are showing that Philadelphia. You are living out that philostrophe, that affection for one another. But I want to encourage us, let's do it more. Let's do it more. They were loving one another. They were devoted to showing this fervent love. And it's interesting, they weren't just showing it to their church. He says, you're showing it to a bunch of other churches and people that are around you in the whole area of Macedonia. And so I would say to us, you know, let's just not love each other that are part of our church, but people who go to other churches, right? Sometimes we get together with other churches to pray or to worship. You have friends that go to other churches. They are your family. They just live somewhere else. They worship somewhere else. You know, we all want to know that someone is for us, right? Don't you want to know that someone is for you, that someone is loving you, somebody is with you? Well, you know what? It goes both ways. We all want to receive that kind of love. We all want to receive that kind of affection. But you know what? We must also be givers of that. These one another's got to go both ways. Got to go both ways. To be a church that is living and loving as the family of God, that is devoted to one another. You know what? It takes effort. It takes effort. When somebody offends you, it takes effort to forgive them, as Jason shared last week. It takes all of us to encourage one another. When someone's not doing well, maybe you know they're not really doing what they should, it takes courage and encouragement for them to spur them on to continue to do what God's called all of us to do. We have to be willing to build those relationships. You know what? It starts, quite honestly, it starts before church service. For some people, new people that come into our church, maybe it'll start actually at a family fun day. When somebody comes in the church and they see the first greeter that they face and somebody gives them a handshake, or before or after church, are they welcomed? Are they talked to? Or do they come and leave with no one even paying attention to them? That's the beginning of that philostorphe, that affection for someone. But it goes beyond that. You know, this is why we encourage each one of us, that one of the goals we have every year is that each one of us would be involved in some kind of small group. We have all kinds of different groups that we'll be starting up, with home groups and men's groups and women's groups. We've got, of course, the youth group for our youth. And we've got the, you know, a softball team. We've got classes that we offer. And the challenge you'll hear again and again is get involved in one of those. It's not just for you because you're going to learn and grow and that, but you're also going to be develop some deeper friendships. It goes beyond just what we see here on Sunday mornings. And of course, as you get involved in those groups, as you have some of those people are going to become deeper friends with you. When you're a part of a home group, when you're neighbors with somebody, when you're part of a softball team, I bet you guys experienced some of that, is all of a sudden you get to know each other better, don't you? And then you say, hey, you don't have to come on over for, let's have dinner together. Then you go out for a movie together as families or a group. Then you play games and you do things that family does outside of just Sunday morning. It becomes more of what a family is to be. And it's not going to be with everybody, but we all need a few of those people. That's part of what we're talking about, become more and more of that philostorphe, that family kind of love, that devotion to one another. So I encourage you, as you think about that idea of brotherly love, it's practical. It's not just a kind of a feeling thing. It's really actions with one another. But Paul doesn't stop there, does he? You remember the second half of this verse, the last part? It says, honor one another above yourselves. It's an honoring kind of love. Seek to honor others rather than always looking for others to honor you. Now you think, well, I don't ask others to honor me. What do you mean? But yeah, we kind of do, don't we? We always, you know, many times want things to happen our way or for us to get our way. But this is a kind of love that eagerly seeks out and rejoices and honors the good qualities of others. of other believers. Paul said it this way in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Also to the interests of others. Think about how you can honor other people in our church instead of always looking for ways for you, you know, to gain the attention, to give away that honor to others. As I've said before, it's not thinking less of yourself, but rather thinking less about yourself, right? Thinking more of others. Joanne Jones was a nurse. She's a nurse now. She was in nursing school, her second year of nursing school. And she shared about one time when a professor gave them a pop quiz, just kind of, you know, those pop quizzes all of a sudden weren't really prepared for it. So they took the quiz, but she says this in her own words, you know, I breezed through the question until the very last one. The last question said, what is the first name of the woman who cleans the school? Says, this some kind of joke? I mean, I'd seen the cleaning woman several times, but how was I supposed to know her name? I handed in my paper and left that last question blank. Before the class ended, though, one of the students asked, is this last question going to count toward our grade? Absolutely, said the professor. In your careers, you're going to meet all kinds of people. All of them are significant. They deserve your attention and care, even if it's just a smile and saying hello. She said, I never forgot that lesson. And I also learned that her name was Dorothy. Honor is giving recognition, showing appreciation to others. You know, it's the same in the church, the family of God. Coming to church is more than just coming for yourself to hear a message, to hopefully hear from God, you know, from the Bible. It's more than just listening and singing songs for you and your family. It is to be about one another. It's about not just myself. If we're honest, the truth is many times we focus on ourselves. It's natural, right? On our own priorities, on our own time. We're pretty selfish naturally. So that's why we need to be challenged. You know, it's sometimes hard to express love and honor to others. But as we're hearing in this series, it's about one another. It's about honoring each other, realizing the needs of others. Some practical ways we can do that as a church. Some of you have or will have to sacrifice time of being here in the service where you'd probably maybe rather be because you enjoy the messages, you enjoy the singing, but instead you've chosen to be in the nursery or you've chosen to be teaching our kids twice every couple months. Sacrifice. Philostorphe, showing that devotion to one another. It might mean taking time to go and make a call or even go visit someone who's sick or someone who's just discouraged. It takes time. It takes effort. Honoring, caring for someone else besides just yourself. It might mean offering to watch a young child of a couple in our church so they can go out on a date. Now, you could, you know, do a lot more things. You know, you could have done your own thing, but you choose to do that. It could be something as simple as getting out of your comfort zone, especially maybe for some of us who are less outgoing, and going and talking to that new person or that person that I forgot their name for the fifth time again, but I'm still going to go over there and talk to them anyway and remind me of your name again. It's sometimes as simple as that. But that and so many other things, that is that family love. That is that affectionate love that we're talking about. It might mean that you choose to join or maybe even lead a small group or involved in youth group, going not just for yourself, yes, for yourself, but also really you're going for the benefit of others. Because every time you go to that small group, not only are you receiving, but hopefully if you go with the right attitude, you are giving. You are showing love to that other person. You're meeting that need. You find out, how do you know about a need that somebody has if you're not in relationship with them? That is that devotion. It means choosing to be the family of God, choosing to be with and for one another. It's more than just coming to church. And we're going to have people who, and when people first come, it's just about coming to church. And unfortunately, we kind of, many times it's about a consumer mentality. We've talked about that actually at our elder meeting. Some people come and, you know, they won't come to our church, maybe because we don't have the best preaching or the best singing, or we don't have enough old people or enough young people or whatever. And it's a consumer. But you know what? Hopefully if they stay here very long, they'll see that we're a family and that we love one another and we'll love them. You know, there's an old song. Some of you know this if you've been in church for a while. It's a song that I grew up singing in church. I won't sing it for you. We'll leave that to Jeff and the worship team. But let me read a couple of the verses and the chorus. You may recognize this. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in its victory in this family so dear. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but thank God I belong. Here's the chorus you probably know. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed by the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side, for I'm part of the family of God. That song means a lot to me, even though it's an oldie. It may mean a lot to some of you too, as you remember growing up in the family of God and as we have his family right here as North Marine Fellowship. And I pray that the words of this song here would be true for us, that we do truly see each other as family, and that we would have this family love, this Philistorfe, this Philadelphia love for one another. May we be growing as we truly understand what it means to be devoted to one another.